This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Horrifying news story.
I don't know if this is the kind of hard-hitting news you're used to.
Got some good news and I got some bad news.
Now this could be the big story of the summer. Network is going to be wanting plenty of coverage.
What do you mean, silly? I mean, that's real news.
All right, Brian Gary, top stories of the day. We've been monitoring this potential college football playoff expansion to the 24, which it sounds like most conferences want at this point. However, Jim Phillips, the AD for AC, the commissioner of the ACC, talking about ESPN officials, saying they were very clear that they would rather keep this at 12. But if there is, if there has to be an expansion, they want to keep they want to go no further than 16. And I guess 24 is interesting to me. For the, for lack of a better term, the little guy, because I think, like last year, for example, you'd still get Tulane and James Madison in, G6, whatever. But realistically and optically, it makes more sense to have 16. 24, now I know the FCS has that, but 16 seems like the sweet spot. 24 seems like a little bit too, a little too much. 12, maybe close, but a little bit more would be nice. I think 16 actually is where I tend to side on. Now, that hurts. That's going to hurt G6s. That's going to hurt the Pac-12, the new Pac-12, essentially. Doesn't mean they can't get in, but the appealing part is the 24s. That's a better chance for Colorado State. Now, they got to win more than like six games in a season before we can really have those conversations. But that was the idea of hiring Jim Mora. So I'm always looking at it through that lens of what could potentially help area schools. But if I'm just looking at it as a college football fan, a national college football fan, 16 is the perfect number.
My mind immediately, as you're talking this, went to, you always try to be in the top 20. You're trying to be in the top 20. Yeah. And if that's the grade to take teams that aren't in the top 20, it seems like too much. 24 seems hard to bite.
24 is weird to me because you got your top 25. And so, you know.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, top 25.
But, your 25th team is like, yeah, we made the top 25, but still doesn't matter. If you're going to do 24, you might as well.
I do know 25.
The buys and all stuff, odd number, but it's just.
I like your number.
I think 16
It makes sense to me. I don't know this as deep as you do, the ramifications and what that means for other schools and, you know, their potential to advance and all those things. But I do think that's a good number.
Well, it would still, everything I've read on the expansion to 24 is you're still going to guarantee one bid. Doesn't mean that it stops there, but one bid for the G6. So the highest ranked G6 champ, and if they get rid of conference championship weekend, which it sounds like they would, you know, it would just be whoever's at the top at the end of the season. And then if there's ties, they go through the necessary tiebreakers, you know, common opponent, strength of schedule and all that. Although the ACC didn't get that right last year with Miami, so that would be odd. But you know, for example, if we were to do this same exact scenario, going into, if you take what happened last year and how the standings sat last year and you put it into place, Tulane and James Madison would still get in because they ranked higher. So they, one of them would get a potential at-large bid. So 24 certainly guarantees a G6 team, but it probably gives you a better than a 50% chance of getting at least two teams in from the G6. And that's the part that's appealing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, I know Boise State and Tulane and James Madison, I thought Boise State was actually competitive in their game 2 years ago. But for the most part, the G6 schools didn't necessarily prove that they belong. I maintain that I would like to see this 5 to 6 years of this, because Brian, I still believe that teams could get better over time. If I'm a stud D tackle and I'm getting a commitment and I'm going to go to Alabama, but I'm told by Alabama, Ohio State, whatever, you're going to be a depth guy right now. You're a 4-5-star guy. You're a 4-star guy. You're going to come in. You got two dudes ahead of you. You're going to probably not play. Now, with the 5-5 thing, might be interesting. But you're not going to play a lot that first year. You might not play a lot in that second year. Then I look at that and go, well, what if I go to, for sake of argument, I go to CSU? Now I'm the guy, maybe even freshman year, certainly halfway through, maybe sophomore year, I'm the guy there, and if I get this team on the map, we win the Pac-12, we punch a ticket, we're the highest ranked G6 or whatever the hell the Pac-12 is. Now I'm on a national stage quicker than I thought, because there's plenty of players that go to Alabama and don't make the NFL because they just didn't get to play. They might be, you know how many players that are actually really good, but they sacrifice playing time to say that they went to Alabama, to say that they went to Ohio State. And then on the flip side of that, there's plenty of guys that go and shine at Boise State or Colorado State. And I know they don't have great examples recently, but they go shine there. And that at least gets them plenty of looks, plenty of tape, plenty of a draft stock creation where they could potentially get drafted. Whereas, hey, you played 3 years at Alabama, you only played your senior year, and you didn't get enough time. So I wonder in 5 to 10 years if it spreads out just a little bit more where you do see more 4-star guys at least start their career at a CSU, a Boise State. And then if they're that good, they transfer. But in that time, they're helping build up a program so that they're competitive and they can ultimately get in. I would be interested to see that. And then if we actually might have more competitive games. I know that's a stretch, but I think that in 5 to 10 years, you might see it spread out a bit more with kids knowing that they can ultimately enter that portal. If they're studs at Boise State for 2 years, they can enter that portal and then go to Alabama, but they've also got plenty of tape for 2 years at a smaller school that they can add to their draft stock potentially and then finish their career at one of the Power Four schools.
I've always thought, it seemed to me like the NFL has so many scouts, so many people watching, so many looking, that if you're a really good college football player, they're going to find you.
Yeah.
You know,
if you have tape.
And exactly. And that's, to your point, that's something that would make the 24 much more appealing. Once you said looking at this over a period of time, we're always in the instant fix. It didn't work right away. We move on to something else. Some of the best things have to be built and let them get up there. And letting that type of program or change take effect for a few years, it takes that long to really see the effect of what it would do.
Yeah, it would just be kind of fascinating to see if this experiment works out where G6 schools are competitive. And I know right now you can say that, arguably, they pretty much haven't been.
Financially, it's really hard to do that.
But like, imagine an Ashton Jeanty who was runner up for Heisman, right, behind Travis Hunter. If he starts his career somewhere else, does he get the same opportunity right off the bat to build up that resume? I don't know. He's still a good back. We'll see what he ends up doing in the NFL in year two. But I just wonder if there's so many of these guys that have been really good players, if they, like Trey McBride, who's arguably the best tight end in football right now.
Yeah.
Played at CSU. A Fort Morgan kid. If he goes to a bigger school, which I'm not saying he had a lot of those opportunities, but let's say he did, does he get forgotten for two seasons and he doesn't build up? Because his last year at CSU, It was with Steve Addazio. He only had one touch. I think he only had one touchdown, and that was off of a fake punt. So, like, Steve Addazio did not believe in throwing to the best tight end, one of the best tight ends in college football. And so he's using a lot of the years before to really help his draft stock and to get him in a good situation where he can get drafted, get a realistic shot in the NFL. If he goes to a bigger school right off the bat, does he get forgotten and he never gets his shot to prove that he's a stud tight end? So that part's kind of curious to me. Jake, the geologist guy, texting in, if you're good enough, it doesn't matter too much. I mean, look at Jordan Love. That's what I'm saying. If you're good enough, you go play and you earn that. You put enough film
mm-hmm.
out there. But you mention it. There's NFL scouts all over the place. Yeah, there's tons of them. They're at practices all the time. Hell, they're at CSU all the time. But if they don't have game film, you're no good to them. They can go watch practices till we're blue in the face, but if they don't actually have game film, whether it's in the Mountain West, the Pac-12, or the SEC, that does nothing for your draft stock. Like, practice as well. You know, he's a good teammate. Great. But if you have 3 years of game film and then you went to an SEC school and tore it up, I'm just saying that's actually where I think the transfer portal could help the CSUs of the world, where they can preach, hey, get us on the map, and then you're going to have options for miles. You're going to have opportunities down the road. It'd be fascinating.
No, it could be very, very interesting. It's always college athletics. It seems like every offseason, it's interesting to see how things are going to fall.
Oh, Brian, I don't know how much you guys, I know Tanner gets tired of the all the changes. There are so many proposals right now.
Are there really?
For college
basketball. It's mind-numbing.
College basketball, there's a new one coming out where they're suggesting changing from doing a first half and a second half to just going straight to quarters. First quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter. There's anti-tampering rules coming into effect. The Lane Kiffin rule, where basically if your team is still in season, meaning playoffs or bowl season, your coach, you cannot interview that coach. You can't talk to that coach. So if that rule was in place last year, the LSU Tigers would not be able to even approach Lane Kiffin until the season is over. So they would have to gamble that he would still want to go to LSU, because if they wait until Ole Miss is out of the playoffs and then call Lane Kiffin and say, you want in, and let's say Lane Kiffin says no, which he wouldn't, but let's say he did, well, then you're screwed if you're LSU because you just missed the coaching wave. So I like that side of it a lot more, potentially, because LSU's not going to be as hungry for Lane Kiffin, knowing they can't talk to him until after. That's a risk you don't want to take. But they're still going to figure out ways to talk to each other. And that's the thing. Like, trying to come up with regulations to block the NCAA and coaches and ADs from doing stuff, they have those. They do it anyway.
Yeah, well, it's interesting. A lot of the changes are things that, okay, this is now legal because we've been doing it forever anyway.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, 100%. Smitty just texting in, Trey McBride entered the portal. Addazio talked him in to stay at CSU. Did he actually enter the portal, or was he thinking about it? And maybe I'm wrong on that, but I know he was thinking about it. Essentially, Trey bet on himself rather than taking the money elsewhere. And it worked out for him. And it could have worked out for him had he entered the portal. We'll never know. But sometimes staying in that situation where, you know, again, I know it was a new coaching staff when Addazio took over, but you're still with a lot of the same guys. You kind of run the show there. I mean, if a coach is begging you to stay, if you then enter that portal, you're going to you're a small fish in a big pond. There's a lot more to learn, a lot different thing, different city. I know those things come into play too. You got to adapt to a different school, all of that. So that can be difficult at times. So that's why I push for the increase of the expansion, because I do think over time, if you give this a real shot with the James Madisons, the Tulanes, the Boise States, they might get more competitive because they might have better players early, maybe not late, you know, maybe they fade after a time. But if I start thinking, wow, I can go to Tulane for 2 years, build up my stock and help them grow, and then I can transfer if I think I'm that good and I'm going to get a bag for me. I got the best of both worlds right there.
What are your thoughts on, I mean, when if things, you know, expand, if they go that way, say it even went to 24, I would love to see college football play. More football, cool for me. But let's get rid of the bowl games.
Oh, get rid of the bowl games, yeah.
Just, I mean, yeah. Let's make this a 2014 playoff.
Make
eliminate the bowl. Games, and that takes over the bowl week, the bowl weeks. What was the Chick-fil-A Chainsaw Bowl could now be, you know, that first round playoff game.
Round one is the Chick-fil-A Chainsaw Bowl.
Right, yeah. Right.
And again, the argument against that, which I'm still fine with, is that you're going to have multiple teams now in multiple bowl games. Because if every round, every game, every round is essentially a bowl game, if you go win the championship, and that's what, six rounds, you played in six bowls. I have no problem with that.
No, it's a lot of collectible T-shirts.
Yeah, it's not as much money for the randos out there, but I'm sorry, I don't care. The only reason I care about bowl season at all is that you get to one. Since it's available to you,
exactly.
Go get the secondary prize. But for me to actually watch you play football 3 weeks later when half your team is gone, half your coaches are thinking about their next situation, don't ask me to care. I don't care. I know people wanted Jay Norvell gone after they got smoked in their bowl game 2 years ago. I think he was fired for a lot more reasons than that. Some will tell me that it was, oh, no, they were starting to really think about it after the bowl game. And that's not the way to look at it. Because if you're basing anything off of a bowl game,
yeah.
You're wrong. Because you're not getting the same team. And we're told that football, you get better every week. And then suddenly they don't play for 3 weeks, and then they play in a random bowl game. So I'm good with – I think the bowl game is good. I think the bowls are going to go away. We're already talking about letting five and seven teams into bowl games now.
Yeah. We've jumped the shark
as far
as that goes.
And they'd have to, because if you now have 2014 playoff, obviously a lot of those teams that would have been bowl teams are going to the playoffs. So now you've got to find more bowl teams to get in, and you're going to have to find some of those five-win teams. Now we're just throwing out CTIs and NITs and CBI tournaments, and I'm not for it.
No, that's what the bowl season feels like, is the NIT tournament.
Yeah, and some people will say, oh, yeah. I love the NIT tournament. If I've got prime rib here, if I've got steak here, why am I going over here to get hot wings? I don't need to watch basketball every single night. I just want to watch good basketball every other night. That's fine for me.
I'm with you 100% on that.
This one is an interesting victory here. In the college sports world, on the NIL side, for the College Sports Commission, because the College Sports Commission just won big. They got a huge victory and a first serious challenge in the new era of college athletics, writes Ross Dellinger of Yahoo Sports. So I'll break this. If you haven't caught up with this one, here's what happened. A group of 18 Nebraska football players. They had 1 million plus of NIL deals. Each of them had at least $1 million in NIL deals. Well, this college sports commission comes in, sniffs around at these deals and says, those aren't legitimate NIL deals. Meaning boosters are essentially just giving you $1 million to be there. You're not really doing anything to earn that. That's not really a name, image, and likeness thing. And that opens up a giant conversation. The players get pissed about that the whatever we're calling it, the CSC, they get pissed about it. They go to arbitration with this, and they challenge it through arbitration. They lost. So during the arbitration process, they said, yeah, actually those deals were not deeming legitimate, so you're not going to get those NIL deals. I brought this up a lot. Ours would pass. What we do with student athletes here is we make them record ads. We make them come in and do a radio show, commit to it weekly, provide insight on the game, the players, the NCAA, their team. That's actually work. That would pass off as that's a commitment. You're actually doing something for NIL. What's happening now is a booster's coming in, going to blank coach, blank AD, and saying, hey, you're trying to get that star linebacker. What's it going to take? Well, we're giving him $1 million, but he wants three. Here's $2 million. Throw it toward the pot. Goes to Billy Bob, the linebacker, and they forget they had to do an NIL thing. Oh, it doesn't matter. I'm a freaking billionaire. Have him go to a car wash. I have maintained that I'm actually shocked that they won. I'm actually shocked that they won this because I said, hey, for any billionaire that's throwing around millions, who are you to tell me what I'm paying them is not worth what you're saying it is. If I say having them post, I love Joe's Crab Shack, it's the best place, go there. If I view that as worth $1 million, who are you to tell me that it's not worth $1 million? If I view one post from Trey McBride saying, man, I only eat at one place, and that's Joe's Crab Shack, and he posts that five times, that's worth $1 million to me. If I say it is, who is the CSC to come in and tell me it's not? So I'm actually shocked they won. I'm glad they did, but I'm shocked that it happened.
I'm wondering if there's a lawyer somewhere right now going, we should have gotten Brady in here. I mean, he's brilliant with golf and everything else. I don't know why we passed by on him. I know you know your stuff.
Well, kind of. It's a tough thing. So it is fascinating to see how this one has played out. Also, a final story here. Why is Ole Miss just catching strays? You know, Lane Kiffin goes off yesterday and says how hard it was to recruit players to Ole Miss because a lot of these players, black players, had their grandparents, their parents say, hey, we don't want you to go there because there's a history of racism there, all this stuff. And so Lane Kiffin's dropping that in Vanity Fair saying, yeah, it was really tough to recruit there. And you know, you don't get any sense of that at LSU. None of that's happening. I guess, and we talked about this a little bit yesterday, why now? Why not mention this stuff? Oh, because it would hurt your recruiting. Now what's it doing? It's helping your recruiting against a potential SEC opponent that Lane Kiffin wants to bury, because you know it looks bad if Ole Miss is still good and LSU for some reason struggles and Ole Miss shines above LSU, then it makes Lane Kiffin look bad. So Lane Kiffin throws a few strays out there. You better believe that if people weren't paying attention to that, they're paying attention to it now. So Lane Kiffin just continues to be a jerkwad.
I do not understand that guy, and I he keeps getting hired and, you know, acclaimed, and then he'll have something happen. There's always something following him in a negative way.
Oh, 100%.
Always.
And he chases the money. Because when he went to Ole Miss, don't forget, when he got the job, he was, oh, this is a sign from God. This is where I'm supposed to be. But they're so racist there at Ole Miss. Surely that's not where you're supposed to be. And if they are still racist and are still doing these things that you deem so terrible, why didn't you do anything about it? Why didn't you speak up? But now that you're at LSU, who, by the way, also has racism history. Their name, the Tigers, they were nicknamed. It's rooted in Civil War history, specifically honoring a Confederate battalion known for its ferocity. They were the Tigers. And so that's how LSU came up with their name. So Lane Kiffin, maybe when he gets his next job and goes to Alabama, he will then fire off and say, yeah, we were struggling with recruits at LSU because the Tigers' name was really bad. He'll mention that at some point, too. That's Lane Kiffin, though. That's who he is.
He is who we think he is. You know, it's one of those you look at him and you feel, I've always felt unclean.
You know, he is a snake.
He
is a
truly,
snake.
Truly comes off that way, and he tends to prove that.
The more I thought, oh, he has kind of changed here at Ole Miss. He's changed. And
then something like that.
The whole process was terrible. Leaving Ole Miss, the way he did it. I get that there's money, a lot more money involved. And then you get Texas's Steve Sarkisian going in Ole Miss, too. I mean, what did Ole Miss do to piss everybody off, man? They don't like Pete Golding over there? I don't get it. He goes, at Texas, we only take 50% of players' academic credit hours. You may be a semester from graduating, but you're going all the way back to 50% if you play here and want a degree. But at Ole Miss, they can take you. All you have to do is take basket weaving, and you can get an Ole Miss degree. Like, why is Ole Miss getting the strays here?
Well, I don't understand what the end game is. What is the purpose of firing these shots?
I mean, they're all just trying to you try to get your edge, I guess. Your recruiting edge by knocking these other schools, and maybe Ole Miss is making noise right now.
Well, so I'm wondering, are they that big of a fear?
Yeah,
to everybody for this year?
And they hung in last year when Lane Kiffin left them.
They sure did.
So I think it's Lane Kiffin started something, and now they're all doubling down. Faith texting, and I agree about the bowl games, but can we please keep the Pop-Tart Bowl? That one is fun to watch only because all the mascot nonsense. Yeah, you could make the Pop-Tart Bowl, just make it first round.
Exactly. No, keep that and keep the mayonnaise one, too.
Yeah, keep all of them.
Yeah.
But just labeling them different. We're putting them in different games that actually mean more.
No question. The viewership would be up. You would actually see humans in the stands at a bowl game. You know, I always wonder, how the hell is a dollar being made there?
Yeah. Well, spending so much to go and do this. Plus, they're trying to get fans there, so they usually work with their fan base, and the fans have to spend money to go. But the other thing that's interesting, too, is the idea of the higher seed in the first round gets to host the playoff game. So the influx of cash, if you actually get to host a playoff game, the atmosphere would be crazy. Because now we predominantly are neutral sites, all that stuff. I think that one's pretty exciting, too, to look at the potential. That's why schools are really signing off on this, because it's like, man, if we can get into the playoffs is awesome. If we can raise that seed up a bit, because there's going to be plenty of first-round buys for the great teams, and then it'll be the lesser teams, and then the better of the lesser teams get to host a playoff game in the first round. So you get to host a bowl game. I think that would be pretty fun.
Oh, there's no question. Could you imagine having that take place here?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, what the fever would be like.
Yeah.
I mean, we'd be killed, sitting out at the stadium like 2 days before just to take everything in.
I went to the Rocky Mountain Showdown. Wasn't that the second to last one of the consistent Rocky Mountain Showdowns? Coach Prime, Norvell, all that stuff.
It was a lot of fun.
And I was there hosting, doing different shows and stuff before the game, and the atmosphere was unreal. I mean, the tailgating scene was unreal. Canvas was unreal. And I know Boulder fans are like, you're welcome. We gave you that with Prime. Whatever. I do think that if CSU would have showed up in that game,
that
might have been
cool.
A different story. That would have been neat, especially because I predicted CSU to win that game.
Nobody's keeping
track. I was talking basketball.
On a Friday.
I made that on a Wednesday. It doesn't count.
Exactly.
It was a Wednesday in July. Plus, I was talking about basketball. I don't know why
so many
people
things
just
working
went.
Against you.
Maybe I put the exact date of the game in the tweet, but I wasn't looking at a calendar. I don't just have calendars pulled up 32 minutes after the hour. Brian, we'll take a short break here. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Preps baseball can be heard right here.
Take me out to the ball game.
On Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one sound like the key tumbling the lock open for the first time. One feeling like finally seeing your place after you've emptied all the moving boxes. That moment when four walls and a roof become the home you've always wanted. If you're on the search for that special place, we're the community bank that'll help you get there. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on The Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
Brian, we got a big game five tonight.
Oh, we certainly do. And everything that's been going on with the high school playoffs, and all that's been happening there this morning. It's probably been the least talked about thing that we had in sports today. And I think it's because, to me, it's a foregone conclusion.
I think so. I think they get it done tonight.
I really do.
If Minnesota finds a way, brings it back to Minnesota, the way the last game went, and I talked about this yesterday, Brian, the Avs just don't stay down long.
No, they don't. They don't. I mean, it was shocking the way they lost game four.
Yeah.
But every other game, it's been this dominant force of hockey. That's why there's nobody nearly as good as them.
No, they're the best offensive team and the best defensive team, and they have two of the best goalies in hockey. I don't know how you do that. It's an embarrassment of riches, and they have it.
Brilliant front office.
It certainly puts the pressure on Jared Bednar, though.
Oh, it absolutely does. But he gets, and he's a guy who it's just taken for granted that he can. It's not really easy taking a group of superstars and having them as a cohesive unit. We see it in the NBA. For years, people have tried to do it. We've seen it in the NFL. I remember when Washington, years ago, tried to buy everybody and put them together on one team. It doesn't work, and it takes a special coach to be able to do that.
Well, and you also have to be careful, too. I mean, they all, if you make a goalie change, they all love the Woods. They love Scott Wedgwood, and they love Mackenzie Blackwood. you make a goalie change, you wonder if there's going to be a group of that roster that's like, hey, man, we got Wedgie's back here. But the way Bednar played it from game one of the regular season to where we sit now, he kept everybody up on the up and up of this is why we're going to do this. I mean, he even talked today about a lot of that for Scott Wedgwood, fatigue factor, that kind of thing. Not once has he made it seem like I'm taking you out to put the other one in because you're not good enough.
True.
Even though if they lose tonight, if I don't know who's going. I don't know yet who's going to be in between the pipes yet. I imagine it's Blackwood.
That would be my guess, too, but I have not heard that officially.
I think what Bednar is probably going to do, Brian, is I'll just every time we lose, we'll just do it that way. You know, and he's kept his roster to the point where they, because they talked about it, man. We believed in Mackenzie Blackwood. We worked our butts off. He had a great game. They're going to turn around and say the same thing about Scott Wedgwood, and that's leadership, and that's why Bednar, I mean, all this talk before the second round or even before the playoffs was he better get past the second round at least, or maybe he's on the hot seat. Mm. He's one win away. He's one title away from us saying Bednar or Mike Shanahan.
No, you are absolutely right. And I've thought that for a while, with or without the cup coming up, which we're going to get. But he is the most underrated, fantastic coach. What he's been able to do with these teams is incredible. And, yeah, you get another title. How could you not? The tenure he's had, the success that he's had, and if you can throw another cup in there, absolutely.
I mean, he's made the playoffs almost. How many times? I mean, they were bad his first year and then pretty much pretty good after that. I could make a case that if Bednar does get that second Stanley Cup, that it's Jared Bednar, the first face you put on the Mount Rushmore of Colorado coaches, and then Mike Shanahan, because Shanny after Elway. Now, again, the argument will be, well, he's got McKinnon, he's got Kale McCarr. I understand that, but we don't have any proof of concept with Bednar without those guys. With Shanahan, we have proof of concept. After Elway, he was a 500-type coach. They made it to the playoffs once with Brian Griese. They were good for about a three-year stretch with Jake Plummer. They got bounced badly by the Indianapolis Colts two of those 3 years, so really only one solid year without Elway. And then after that, Shanahan was pretty much a 500-type coach.
Now, that's a strong point, and I forget about that afterwards, because for me, the memories that are just so forefront.
We got the back-to-backs.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that's just, it is hard to have anything take away from that.
It's tough, and it would be a fun argument. Think about that, though, Brian. Who's on your, I think there's three names that are obviously on the Mount Rushmore, and the fourth one is hard to find. So let's talk about that coming up next, 40 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farouk, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University, and you're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
All right, Brian, it's an interesting thought. I think the Mount Rushmore for players is an easy, I don't think easier, but we have 10 names we can pick from.
Oh, absolutely. In a heartbeat, you can start making a list.
Yeah, coaches. Yeah. There's Mike Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have a bunch of other dudes that won championships, that won one championship. I mean, you've got Michael Malone that won one championship. You got Mark Crawford in 96, Bob Hartley for the Avs. So you got two guys that won championships there. You got Clint Hurdle, who went to a World Series. It was Clint Hurdle. You got Bill McCartney, too, for the Buffs. National championship.
Oh, that's true. I was just thinking of professional sports. I wasn't even throwing in.
Yeah, if we want to do college, too, or just state. But, yeah, if you do professional, my list is definitely my three anyway. I know there's four, unless they changed it, Brian. Mike Shanahan.
They haven't changed it. No.
Apparently it's
no,
hard to do
they're
that.
Trying to add a fifth, but they've stopped Trump from doing that yet.
They should add about 20 more. I think you should put every president up there. And there's no debate.
Yeah.
You know, it's just every president up there. An entire line of mountain is now president faces. I go Shanny first. And it's Jared Bednar's probably got to be two.
He is for me. On my list, without a doubt. And one and two, to me, are pretty easy. 3 and 4, not so much.
I tend to go Michael Malone because he did it with a Nuggets organization that really, other than a couple of seasons, of course, we know what Doug Moe did. We know what George Karl did. But he actually got over the hump. Now, I know that's Joker. I get that. But Bednar has McKinnon. Crawford had Sakic and Waugh and all the Forsberg, all those great players. Hartley had Sakic and Waugh, all those great players. You got to have – Shanny had Elway and Terrell Davis and Shannon Sharpe. They all had Hall of Fame players. So that one, to me, kind of goes out the window. So I tend to put Michael Malone there because he did get a team over the hump. Do you put an Avalanche coach there, a Crawford or a Hartley, over? You know,
I'm still Dan Reeves.
Dan Reeves is
up there for me.
Yeah, that's plenty.
Just iconic what he did for the franchise. He put them there. Yes, they didn't, you know, reach the mountaintop, but he got them up there. And even though he would just anger you with his conservativeness and those kind of things, the guy knew how to coach football.
Yeah, and of course he had the on and off again relationship with John Elway.
Yes.
And I know that sticks with a lot of people, but Dan Reeves was one of the names that came to my mind first. I mean, Doug Moe's up there too.
And I had the ones that I wrote down were Bednar, Shanahan, Malone, Doug Moe, and then Reeves and Clint Hurdle.
And Clint Hurdle
very well could deserve that fourth spot.
And doesn't that kind of become more clear as the Rockies continue to get worse? I know they're on the improve this year, but
really strong point.
To not only be in the playoffs, but to go to the World Series with the Rockies.
Yes.
I think there's a case to be made. I know it's all about championships and such, but
he's still there.
Yeah.
And you know, he's one of the people that they look at as, you know, we're so thankful we still have Clint around, you know, doing what he's doing with these guys.
No question.
That's a great one. I haven't thought of the coach angle before.
Yeah.
But I think we're pretty solid on two of the heads.
And I think Bednar passes Shanny if he wins another cup. I really do. Faith says, plus Bednar has great hair. Well, yeah. As far as good-looking coaches, Jared Bednar's...
It's not even
there's
close.
There's nobody else up there.
No.
I mean, George Karl, I love you, man.
But no.
No, man. But Jared Bednar, you know, guy asks me out to dinner. Am I saying no?
Probably not.
Probably not.
No. Would I go camping? Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever you want to do, man. We'll hang out and just call it a day. 12:49 the time. We'll wrap up hour number two. Coming up, well, I want to get into this Windsor story. I don't talk a lot of preps. Bruce is the guy for that. Durbs was the guy for that today. You were the guy for that today. I want to talk about that. Also, Sean Keeler from the Denver Post will join us. So keep it here on the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe. We'll be right back.
Hear the A1 Organics Game of the Week on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Brian, yesterday we got the news that we know the Broncos and the Chiefs are going to play on the first Monday Night Football game.
Yes, indeed, September 14th. That's going to be exciting.
Now we know it's going to be at Arrowhead Stadium. I think it's great for the Broncos. Now I'm hearing Broncos people like, no, the Broncos deserve to have it at home, Michael. But that's when you want the Chiefs.
Oh, I agree completely. No, I have no problem with that being our opener. Go to Kansas City, take care of them.
Go to Kansas City. I mean, it's going to be Mahomes' first shot back after all the injuries. You're not playing them late in the season, which other than last year, traditionally, they always look pretty primed and ready to go late in the season, at home especially. So I love the opportunity for the Broncos to go and win one game.
Oh, and I dig that we get the NFL season kicked off, you know, with the regular during the week stuff, and then we can finish.
Oh, yeah.
By being focused completely on the Broncos.
I am very excited about that. I'm calling it right now. The Broncos win that game. Broncos win that game, Brian.
By?
10.
I should write a song for it.
Yeah. That'll be the Thursday night, Monday night special. I look forward to it. Brian Gary filling in for What's-His-Face here on the show, and I love it. It's great. I still kind of like Michael, but I really, 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 really like Brian. Coming up next, let's talk about Windsor. What the hell, man?
Absolutely.
We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.